Hello and welcome to the Think Big Show. It's Wednesday in the Think Big community where entrepreneurs and business owners come from around the world to think bigger, work smarter, and grow successful businesses faster through online strategies, leadership, and mindset. I'm Midge Bolt, founder of the Think Big Network, and I'm joined here with my partner in success in life, mission accomplishment strategist, JT DeBolt. JT, welcome to Wednesday.
Good morning. Great to be with you here on a Wednesday. And to all of our friends out there in the Think Big Network, good morning. Good afternoon and good evening, whatever time it is for you, no matter where you might be tuning in from on the Big Blue Marble. Thank you for joining us here each and every single Monday through Friday at 11 a.m. Eastern. Always a lot of fun. Got to tell you, I'm pretty pumped about today. You know, we've been talking about these ways to kind of ratchet up your personal success. And success is kind of a funny word because at its core, every single person has a different definition of what that word really means, right? Because if you look it up in the dictionary, I'm not even going to get into what the dictionary says. To me, I think we all have something internal. You and I define success differently. You know what
yeah.
I mean? But similarly,
yep.
Complementary.
Very true. Success is very personal. It's a personal journey. I mean, it's a personal definition. So there is no right definition of success. Your definition may be slightly different or completely different than mine, and how we define it is really our own journey.
Exactly, and I think the most important part is not only how do we define it, but how do we sustain it? How do we, you know, how do we create it in our lives and not obsess over it? The one thing that, gosh, it drives me crazy about the self-help or the personal development industry is this propagation of this notion that we're constantly on the pursuit of success, when really the pursuit we should be on is the pursuit of our own personal excellence, like how we can elevate the game every single day, realizing that it's not going to be a stair-step approach. Day one's not going to be higher, you know, or day two's not going to be higher than day one. Day three's not going to be higher than day two necessarily. You're going to have dips and valleys and things like that. So if we can learn to roll with that, then we have what I think most people would define as a successful life, where they're not stressed out. They're not thinking about, you know, why is this not working? They're kind of going with the flow. And that means you can be successful at pretty much any level, whether you define success as a financial thing or you define it as, you know, an influence thing or whatever. You can see yourself as successful or on the path to success even before you've gotten the grandiose results.
Yeah, totally true.
So if you're committed to success, then in my mind, you have to be performing at or above the level of the success you want, meaning you have to execute at a level higher or at least in alignment with the success you want. You cannot have level 10 results if you have level 6 execution. I mean, maybe if you get like super lucky, right? Sometimes you got to have level 10 execution just to get level 6 results. So it may sound unfair, but that's just the way life is. And if you look at any real dominant performer in any field, you'll observe certain traits and you'll see these behaviors that set them apart and keep them on top. I was actually thinking about this while we were talking the other day. We were talking about the Olympics and, you know, the NFL and all these kinds of things, thinking about all these pro athletes or these high-level athletes. But if you think of Katie Ledecky, remember how she completely crushed it? Like,
oh,
she
yeah.
was so far out ahead. I don't remember what the event was, but it was one of those long-term, like super grinded out type of events where it was essentially like running a marathon, but you're swimming.
Right, it's like 200 meters.
Something like that. I mean, it felt like 1,000 meters. It was so, but she was so far out in front of the competition. It was unbelievable. You know what? It was the 400 meters. This is back in the Rio Games. That's what it was. And is the freestyle, so she's just swimming. But at one point, she was so far out, it looked like she was the only swimmer in the pool. Do you remember that?
It was really cool, yeah.
It was unbelievable. It was like if you came in with the sound off and you just happened to walk into a room when that was on the television, you would swear they were showing her warming up.
Mm-hmm.
Not just because she was so far out ahead, but because she was in this like super smooth flow, but she was kicking ass. I mean, she was grinding it out. So the reason I share this with you is because that's like that dominance is the kind of thing that we can all create in our own businesses and in our lives. There's a guy by the name of Jeff Hayden, and he wrote a little article called 6 Ways That Katie Ledecky Thinks Differently. And what he was, you know, kind of referring to is the psychology of success. And it was so applicable, not just to sports, but to business. As an entrepreneur, we can all take this on board, because there's really like, there's probably more than six ways to do this, but we, you know, he distilled it down into six ways. And I think we can talk about that here today. The first one is, if you want to have that dominant success in your business, so think about whatever industry you're in right now, the marketplace you're in. Think about, you know, what maybe somebody right now who is at the top of the game. Guaranteed, they're doing this one thing, and that is they're doing the work. And I'm not just talking about showing up and kind of going through the motions. I'm talking about the courageous hard work, the stuff that absolutely sucks, the stuff that nobody else will do.
Yeah, and I think what was really cool about Katie Ledecky was that she never compared herself. Like, she wasn't trying to just be, you know, 5 seconds ahead of the leader of the world in women's swimming. She was trying to crush it every single time, every single time she got into the pool. I remember an interview with her, and she goes all out every single time. And that's because she compares herself to herself. Mm. She compares herself to the last time she swam.
Yeah.
And so I think that was really, really cool about doing the work.
Because what would be the natural, if we're thinking about greatest swimmers ever, what's the natural thing if you're like, well, I'm going to compare myself to somebody, who might that be?
Michael Phelps.
Yeah, Michael Phelps. Is she anything like Michael Phelps, physiologically speaking?
No.
No. The dude is like 9 feet tall and his arms are 50 feet long, right?
He's a man.
But I mean, she... And by the way, I don't know this to be true, but I would love to see a race between those two.
Yeah,
because
that'd be cool.
I almost don't know that you're.
He's also a different kind of swimmer. He's more of a sprinter, but
exactly.
It would be kind of cool, because how fast would he burn out? You know.
Totally. I don't think your gender has anything to do with it at that level. I mean, it does, but I'm saying, you know, like when they. My point is this, is like Katie Ledecky, I'd put her up against any man. That's no joke. I mean that. But what's crazy about that is that she does the work. She's up at like 4 o'clock in the morning and she's grinding it out. And what's cool about Katie, and this is true, and this brings up that second point, is she's willing to do more, right?
Yes.
She doesn't see this as a 9-to-5 thing. And if you're in your business and you say, well, okay, JT, I'll do the work. I'll do what's required. Now you got to be willing to do more.
Yep.
And by the way, I want to be completely clear on this. I am not talking about what all the little Gary V fanboys think.
Hustling your face off.
Hustle till your face melts off, right? No. What I'm talking about is we all have our own level. We have that level where we're like, oh man, I'm tired. But that's the beginning. That's the very, very beginning. The Navy SEALs like to say it's the 40% rule. You've only expended 40% of your potential. When you are wiped out, when you're exhausted, when you got nothing left in the tank, when your body's quivering, you've only hit 40%. You still got 60% left. And there's some truth to that. You know, our brains are going to shut it down. We're going to feel tired, or we're going to say to ourselves, man, you know, Walking Dead's on. Time to shut her down so we can go watch some TV, right?
Right.
So it's about being willing to do more.
Do more of the hard work.
That's right.
Do the more of the stuff that stretches you. Do more of the stuff that will move your business, because you know that that's the kind of stuff that's results-based, that's going to, like the marketing, you know, writing an email, doing the things that you're maybe procrastinating on. Those are the things we're talking about.
You know, it's interesting too, because I remember, we've all probably heard this quote, but the first time I heard it, I like literally chuckled out loud, because I thought it was so funny, because it's so true. And that was that entrepreneurs are the only people on earth crazy enough to give up a 40-hour work week to work 80 hours for possibly no payoff, right?
That's right, yeah.
And it's very true, because what it means is you're willing to go that extra mile. You're willing to do the work that other people think is crazy, the workload that nobody wants. That's kind of what you have to do to separate yourself to create that dominant success. But the other part to this is, what happens in the back of our minds when we're working really hard and we're like, ooh, this isn't paying off? What do we start thinking about? We start thinking about, you know, maybe we should try something new.
Oh, yeah. If we get the shiny object syndrome.
Yeah. We start getting this whole like, you know what? Let's try plan B.
Well, this person has a really easy, simple way of doing something. they have a really good system. Oh, they've made so much money. Maybe I should go and follow them.
Yep. I'm not getting any viewers on my Facebook Live, so screw Facebook Live. Let's try something new. Let's try email marketing. Right. Oh, nobody's opening my emails. You know what? Screw email marketing. Let's try, you know, let's go buy some solo ads. Oh, I just blew $1,000 on solo ads. It's not working. So what do? We start jumping from backup plan to backup plan, where really what we have to do, we had to be willing to do, is to go all in, total commitment, no safety net. And by the way, to me, I think the whole safety net thing is a crock of shit. I think the thing that we did that was, and I know this isn't for everybody, but we had zero safety net. I left in 2008. You'd already been out of the Navy for a year.
Right.
When I left in September of 2008, we had no safety net. We had two little kids. One was still a baby. Hadn't even learned how to walk yet.
Yep.
And a lot of people thought we were nuts. Totally crazy. How could you leave? How irresponsible of you. Now, am I saying that that's the prescription for success? No. But what I am saying is there's a certain level of laser focus when your back is against the wall like that. And I don't think a lot of people are willing to go all in. I'm not saying you got to have no safety net, but they're saying to themselves, I'm going to hedge my bets. I'm going to dip my toe in this. We'll see how this goes. I'll try it out for 30 days. If it doesn't work, then I'll shift gears. That's a recipe for disaster in my mind.
Yeah, and a recipe for not being fulfilled ever. You know, when you put your dreams on the back burner by shifting gears every 10 seconds, then it really is a recipe to wake up 10 years in the same place that you are now.
Amen. Absolutely. And I remember actually in that article, they were talking about the coach or the guy that was studying Katie Ledecky said, Katie Ledecky doesn't swim. She's a swimmer. There's a massive difference. That's 100% buy-in. That's where you are at the DNA level doing your thing. Not to be confused with, you know, creating an identity around it, because that could be very catastrophic. What it means is, you know, hey, I am JT DeBolt, and I'm a leader. And what I do is I help people define and accomplish their personal missions in business and life as a mission accomplishment strategist. That's not something that is a cool thing that you hang on the wall and, you know, take selfies with. It's something that your 100% life is committed to. And that's the thing that you have to be in your business and life. You have to decide for that for yourself. So as you're listening today, get clear on what that means to you. What does it mean to be 100% all in with zero backup plan? And I'm not talking about sometimes you need plan B, C, D, E, whatever it takes, the contingency plans to get you there. What I'm saying is where you don't say, like Katie didn't say, well, if swimming doesn't work out, I'll go play volleyball. If swimming doesn't work out, maybe I'll be a tennis player. She's 100% all in, and that's why you see what you see. The next part about this is, you know, they were talking about avoiding crowds. I have to laugh because this part cracks me up every single time. People, that we are a, how do I say this? We are a tribal species. That's a nice way of putting it, right?
Yeah, that's nice.
As humans, we're a tribal species, which means we take comfort in being in a crowd. It literally in our biology, our physiology, there's a part of our brain that says we have to be with other people. Because back when we were, you know, living in caves and running from saber-toothed tigers, if you were alone or outcast from the tribe, it was certain death, right? To fend for yourself. Nowadays, it's not that you have to worry about being cast away or you know, shut out of the tribe. That just doesn't happen anymore, unless you do something really bad and you get sent to prison. But even then, you end up in a tribe, don't you?
Yeah, a different type of tribe.
Not a great tribe, but you get a tribe. So the point is that if we kind of avoid following the trends and falling for whatever's hot, whatever's exciting, whatever, you know, because what are the masses gonna default to? They're going to default to easy. They're going to default to what feels good, what's exciting, what's fast, what's quick, what's shiny. They're not going to default to the hard stuff. They're not going to default to what's going to get them to the great results. Otherwise, you would see more great people. But what we see is mediocrity. So you got to set that race pace, just like Katie Ledecky does, where you're going at it hard every single day. You're giving your best. And some days, hey, like we were talking about in a couple podcasts before, you know, if you give 100%, if all you got is 50% to give, because you're just tired, you're worn out, but you give all of that, that's what we're talking about. The person that's not reserving a little bit for later.
Yeah, maybe JT, we should have a talk about productivity someday, because really avoiding the crowds is avoiding the shiny objects, is not going on Facebook for hours and watching other people's videos and other people's live streams. And, you know, it really is about focusing on what's important to you and how you're going to move the needle in your business and how you're going to make a bigger impact. So avoiding the crowds is really about focusing.
Absolutely. And I think that focus is the part that is extremely important. And if you avoid the crowds, then you'll start focusing on the end game. And I think that's one of the bigger takeaways that I got from this article I remember reading, was it's about getting clear on the end game and then training to that end game. Does that make sense? So I train my clients. We talk about this in the methodology I teach, called the flight plan to success. And that is where you get crystal clear on what it is you want as your end game. And then you work your way backwards and you establish little checkpoints along the way. And those become your quote unquote goals. And then you establish a plan and a formula around that, a strategy to get there. So when you get clear on what your end game is, that means you know what you want and you train to that. So if you said, hey, you know, my end game is to win a gold medal, then you're going to train a lot harder than the person that goes, I just want to be healthy. So I'm going to use I'm going to become a swimmer. I'm going to swim to stay fit. That's a whole different ballgame.
Yeah.
Right?
And if you can make your end game as specific as possible, you know,
yes.
And create a date, create a, you know, be as detailed as possible in what your end game is, you're more likely to hit the mark.
With one caveat, I will say this. I agree with everything you just said. And then there's a part where we have to sort of release and allow and be fluid, where we have to say to ourselves, it may not happen on our timeline. You know, it may not happen to the scale we wanted on the first iteration. I intend to do, you know, I'm going to do a launch of my product. I'm going to do a webinar, and I intend to do $500,000. And I'm going to do this webinar on the 18th of whatever, you know, the month. Well, the 18th of the month comes and goes. You do the webinar. What happens if you only make $100,000? Is that an utter disaster? Well, it depends, I guess, on your version of that. But the point is that sometimes we set our targets and we're very specific about it. We do everything inside of our circle of control. And then if it doesn't go to plan, then that's when we adjust. Then we come back and say, what might we do differently? How might we get to that target? How might we hit that deadline like we said we were? And then we don't become consumed with, oh, it didn't work out. And then we start going down a path of being obsessed with results, right?
Right. So it's about focusing on the process.
Absolutely. With the end in mind, just like you said, I agree with everything you just said. It's just that we have to also have that part where we calibrate our expectations and say, okay, if it doesn't work out, then we need to adjust. And then finally, get ready for what's next. You know, the one thing that I'm always taken by with people like Ledecky, for instance, is they're always ready and they're working on the next target. They're not just thinking about, oh, I won the race, and then they just sort of rest on their laurels. Because I think Robin Sharma said this, and I don't know if he coined this phrase or if it was somebody else's quote, but I remember hearing it from him in an interview with, I think, Darren Hardy, but it really, really landed with me. And he said this: nothing fails like success. Right? Nothing makes us lazier. Nothing makes us more complacent. Nothing makes us more content than to get success. And so on the flip side of that, you might think to yourself, okay, so now all of a sudden we just become these work machines, these workaholics, these people that just grind ourselves into an early grave. No. What it means is we have to be vigilant, that when we get a level of success, we say, this is awesome. And it's only the beginning. So creating dominant success means that we're ready for what's next. The question is, how will you leverage and how will you parlay that success into more, into something bigger, maybe even something completely different that you didn't realize before? Okay, so just to recap, really, there are six steps to creating dominant success. And again, I want to give a hat tip here to Jeff Hayden when he was talking about the six ways that Katie Ledecky thinks differently and really the psychology of success. First and foremost is do the work, all right? It's that hard work. It's the courageous stuff. It's the stuff that most people aren't willing to do. And yes, it does mean making sacrifices. We talked about discipline yesterday, and we're going to continue to hit this one over and over again. Number two is it means doing more, right? Because it's about embracing the work that other people would just rather not do. It's about doing the hard stuff, the stuff that people look at and they think you're crazy, the things that, it's not just about working long hours. It's about taking the risks. It's about doing the stuff that most people would just rather not do. Number three is it's about not making backup plans. And I'm not talking about contingency plans. Yeah, you need a plan B, a plan C, a plan D. You need ways, different ways to hit the same target. But what we're saying is where you don't just throw the mission out. You're not like saying, okay, forget it. You know, instead of trying to build this business, we're going to try to build something completely different. And that's what we mean by that. Number four is to avoid the crowds, meaning be a leader. Don't follow what's next. Don't follow what's trendy. Don't follow what's hot. Practice never getting complacent, right? Always practice that race pace. Push yourself to be the best you can. Practice for the victory. Practice for the win. Next is to get clear on your end game and then work your way backwards. A little bit like I talk about in Flight Plan of Success. Get very clear on what you want, specificity with the time, the scale, all those things, and then be ready, be willing to be flexible when necessary to get yourself back on track. And finally, get ready for what's next. Get ready for what happens after you achieve the success you want. You don't want to rest on your laurels. You don't want to become complacent and lazy. You want to keep moving, keep pushing, and leverage it and parlay it to the next thing.
Good stuff, JT. This call is a wrap. Go out and share your greatness with the world now, my friends, because now is all you have. Go and get our free 10-day boot camp at thethinkbignetwork.com, where it'll teach you how to get more leads, make more money, and attract the right customers to your business through social media.
And remember, no matter what course you fly in life, fly high, fly fast, and fly far. We'll talk to you soon.